to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Amen. Now this morning, go ahead and put the first scripture up if you would. This morning, I want to talk to you about some stuff that some of it is probably agreeable on 100% across the board. Some of it is I want to make you think. And I'm not putting it out as absolute doctrine, but I'm going to put out, instead of saying this is what I believe all the way through it and qualifying it, I'm just going to do it at the very start. This is what I believe. All right. And I want you to research it like it says in the book of Acts. Paul went to a place called Berea, and it says they were more noble because they searched out these things to see if they were so or not. So even at the beginning, there may be some of this today that you may say, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, you take that as a prick for you to go study, and you go search it out and see what you think. All right. Everybody raise your hand if you just heard what I said. You heard what I said. All right. I'm not going to say it again. So I'm going to preach just like I normally preach. But some of it I understand might be a little bit disagreeable. And so you take it and you study it out and you see what you think, because that's how we do here. I'm not the Pope. Everybody looks at, he's not the Pope. He's not the Pope. This is not mandated that you don't believe this. You know, no. I share with you, and there are seasons when Paul said, I have no direct command of the Lord, but as a faithful servant, I give this to you. Paul said that. Do you know, read it in the Bible? Paul wrote that at times and said, I don't have a direct command, but as one that is faithful, I'll give you this. And I'm going to give it what I believe, having studied, and I enjoy studying and searching the scriptures. I'm going to give you some things. There'll be some places you may not have thought of that and think about it. And when you do your own. All right, we're going to start with that intro. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels, everybody say his angels, his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. He accuses them day and night before our God. And they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody say that. And they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. And the rest of it we'll talk about another time. I just want to take that phrase right there. And here's what we're going to talk about a few Sundays. And they conquered him by the, conquering the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Conquering the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive. Thank you for the word of God this morning that's more powerful. Thank you that it's strong. Thank you, Lord, that we lift it up. We exalt your word this morning, Lord. Your name is encompassed in that word. Your truth is encompassed. And we lift it up before you, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. You know, I'm not going to name names, but there's a bunch of fluff being preached today on TV. When I turn on some of them, I'm going to tell you, I cannot stand it anymore because of the fluff, of the absolute just psychology, today's thing. And one of the prophets of the Old Testament said, they have healed my people superficially. And that's some of the junk that's being broadcast out. I'm not the fount of all truth. I don't have a corner on it. But at least I read the Bible. Come on, somebody. At least I have some scripture in when we talk about, and we don't end up just doing, you know, psychology and feelings. And I believe the scripture, though, is talking about today. There's very little preaching about the blood of Jesus. It's one of those not really, you know, in things. And yet the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, this is a future event even to us. And it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I believe there's a mystery. I believe there's a truth that we need to be known how to conquer the devil. And I'm going to tell you, one of the ways you conquer the devil in your life is not just by saying no. The decisions are great, and your decision and your will is important. But I'm going to tell you something. You need more than your will to conquer the devil in this life. You need more than your ability to say no, to get off of drugs sometimes, get out of some addictions you're a part of. Because it takes more than what power you've got to defeat an age-old adversary that has wisdom in him from knowing how to deceive people and bring them into bondage. And one of the Bible says it very clear, they conquered the devil by the blood of the Lamb. So I want to talk to you. There is one of the most amazing parts of our creation is called the blood. Everybody say the blood. We don't like to talk about it, but how many of you got blood? How many got blood in you this morning? You got blood in you. You're hot-blooded, cold-blooded. You're warm-blooded. You're whatever. You got animals. Some of you got warm-blooded animals. Some of you got cold-blooded animals. On and on. And one of the keys in Acts chapter 20 in verse 28, it says this. It says, be careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. One translation says, which he purchased with his own blood. I'm going to tell you one amazing thing. If you know one of the reasons that when you come in at 10:10 and you sense the presence of the Lord, you know why? Because we're starting our song service now an hour into our service. See, church already began at 9. Come on, church began at 9:09. And when you come in this auditorium, you've already been in church for an hour. And instead of like we used to start church at 9:30, you came in from the car fighting and fussing and upset at the traffic and an old lady so-and-so in the road and you're hurrying and all that. And you come in this and it takes you until the last songs to even know God's alive. Come on, somebody. Now, when you come here at 10:10, you've already been talking about the things of God. You've been sharing about the things of God. You will receive more, not because I'm a better preacher suddenly. It's because you've already been in the presence of God for an hour and a half before I ever get up here and speak. Come on, somebody. And so, let me tell you, if I can encourage you, if you've had a chance to start, 9:09, back in the gymnasium building. Just come in the back and we'll show you where to go. You got a lot of choices and all that. But that's what's happening. But let me, the Bible says this. Everybody say blood this morning. Say blood, would you? David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. One of the most fearful and wonderful things in your body, your creation, is called blood. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says God created the first man and he was called Adam, or Adam as we call it. And Adam, or the last part of that name, Dom or dumb, as they call it, literally means it's the Hebrew word for blood. And so when God created this first man, this first human being, it's like this. When he created him from the dust of the ground, the Bible says his face was like anyone's face would be that had no blood. It's like a person that's died or a person that is about to faint. You see their face grow white or dust color, really a brown color. And what happened was that when God created him, the Adam, the name has the implication of red or rosy. It means red or rosy in appearance. And the reason the first man was named according to this thing called the blood, because it says when God created him, he breathed into Adam the breath of life. I believe, and I'll show you just a minute why I believe that. It says he breathed into him the breath of life. Everybody say life. And what he did was this. Adam was just a shell. Adam was, his body was just a body and he had no life in it. And the Bible says that he was made from the dust and he was colored that brown color. He was a dust color. And God came and breathed into Adam the breath of life. I believe that life was in the blood. Literally, God breathed into him. And what began to flow through that body was the blood that God had breathed into that Adam. And the Bible says that suddenly God looked at him and called him Adam. Adam, red, rosy. The blood, literally the Hebrew word for blood. Leviticus chapter 17. The first name had to do with blood. Leviticus 17, look at this. For the life of the flesh is in the what? The life of the Bible says, even as the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without, works without faith is dead. And so when you come to this and understand that this miraculous thing in our body called blood is literally the life, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life that is in the blood. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Look at verse 14. For the life of every creature is its blood. Its blood is its life. Therefore, I have said to the people of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any creature, for the life of every creature is in the blood. If you do that, you'll be cut off. The life, the Hebrew word for life there is the word nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S, nephesh. In other words, he says the soul of the flesh is to be found in the blood. When Adam was first created, he was not Adam yet. He was just a shell. When God breathed into him the breath of life, he became rosy in appearance. The blood flowed through his veins because God breathed in him the life. And the life is in the blood. And so the Bible says God breathed into him. And so life, nephesh, is in the life or the soul. Look at Genesis. Listen, when the first murder occurred. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Notice what God says. And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Why is that, Lord? Because the life, before God, the life is in the blood. We don't sense that. We don't see that. But I'm going to tell you, the life of a soul, the life of a flesh is in the blood. And God comes to Cain and says, "Where's Abel?" And he pretends. And God says, "I know where he is because I hear the voice of his blood crying from the ground." The voice of thy brother's blood crieth. Why, how's that, Lord? Because the life is in the blood. See, this flesh is not my life. Had we been there, we would have only seen the red blood stain on the ground. We would, you know, a scientist would have seen the red and white blood cells all around the iron. But God didn't see just red and white blood cells. What God saw was the nephesh. What God heard was the life coming from the blood. What God did was the way that he created it. It was God breathed into Adam. He became a living soul. What does that mean? It means that the life force of the soul, the life force of your life is in your blood. There's something about blood that is totally unique and very difficult to explain. There's a mystery to the blood. And even today, there's power in our blood. In fact, our blood has the ability to do things that when you study it out medically, it's just amazing what the blood can and cannot do. In fact, I'll just throw this out. I'm not going to get on a bandwagon of this because in the book of Leviticus, there's a number of sins that's listed and it speaks about what it will do to your blood. And I'll just go this, go to Leviticus, next scripture. Leviticus, I think verse 13. If a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. One translation, I think the New King James, puts it this way. The last part says their blood will be upon them. It literally says there will be blood guiltiness. Blood guiltiness is the Hebrew phrase that's there. And let me break that phrase down for you. Listen to what it says. Dim Adam means blood, as we said, Adam. May means price due. And him, this is the Hebrew word, means death. Literally, the word blood guiltiness means the price is due me in death. The price due me is the price is due me in death. Phrase. But there's other sins. So I'm not going to be one of these that hops on the homosexual and bashes this and that. But let me tell you something. There is a sense when you cross some deadlines in God, when your life force loses its ability to protect you the way it's supposed to protect you. The way that they named AIDS was the acquired immune system deficiency. You literally end up where your blood does not have the ability to fight off diseases as it once did. It comes to a place where, and listen, in the book of Leviticus, it does not only speak about homosexuality, it speaks about bestiality, lying with a beast as you lie with mankind. It speaks about other forms. It talks about adultery. There are other things that happen. See, some of these things we don't realize. When we get involved in them, you may get play around with it and nothing affects you. But when you get involved with it, you cross a deadline in God. And some of these things you become a part of. And one of the things that happens in your life is that life force in you suddenly begins to not work like it did. Death begins from the inside out. What happens is, and that life force is found in the blood. So it's an interesting topic. You can study it on your own. Animals have a nephesh. Now, they don't have a spirit, but the Bible says very definitely that they have a nephesh. They have a life force in their soul. You write it throughout. As I said, they don't have an eternal spirit, but they do have a nephesh. And according to Ecclesiastes, animals have a soul, a nephesh, a life force. And guess where that life force is? That life force is in their blood. That life force that God created animals as well as human beings. In us, he gave a spirit. That's the difference. In animals, he also gave a soul, Ecclesiastes says. They have blood in them like we have blood in us. They have a nephesh. They have, their life is found in their blood. That is why God, guess where that life, it's in their blood. That's the purpose of the Old Testament sacrifices. They could atone, they could take the place of, because they had a nephesh. They had a life force that was in their blood. And so when they were used, look at the book of Hebrews, look at chapter 9, look at verse 22. It says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. It says, listen, everything was purified by blood. Why? Because in order for there to be an atonement for sin, another life had to be placed on the altar. And so that the life force of that blood can cover the penalty of the death that was required. So what happened was God put into animals the nephesh also. In their blood is their life force. In their blood is their life, because the blood is the life of the flesh. It's the life of the soul. It is the nephesh. And so the Bible says God instituted what we call animal sacrifices. He established it. Now, go on, read the next one. Watch this. It says, for when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and the blood of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and he sprinkled both the book, that was the law. He sprinkled the law, the book, the Bible. He sprinkled the Bible with the blood of calves and goats, the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Let me tell you something this morning. You are not forgiven just because you ask God to forgive you. There is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. There is no forgiveness, because the Bible says, he that sins, that soul shall die. Death is a requirement of those that sin. And so to sin and then ask God to forgive you, you cannot do that on your own. Listen, there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. You got to get this. There's no forgiveness there of sin without the shedding of blood. I might need some batteries. Looks like I'm going out. Without the shedding of blood. Now, I want you to notice something very particular in verse 23. Now, I want you to watch this. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the things, of the heavenly things, to be purified with these rites. Now, get this. Yeah, go ahead and give me. I want you to hear this. I want to take a little bit of time while they're changing this battery out. I'll get this other mic while you're doing it. I want you to see this real quick. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified by these rites. Now, what he's saying is this. Listen, he said, listen, when you understand what that means is that the tabernacle, everything you see in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, everything you see in the law, literally the tabernacle, the holy place, the holiest of all that stuff, none of that stuff was created first. All of that stuff is a replica or a copy of what those men saw in heaven. The Bible says that Moses was taken up and shown. David was shown and he built the temple after what he saw in the heavenlies. So everything we talk about, what Moses just did, everything that took place, that Moses took the blood of goats and bulls and he sprinkled these things and he cleansed them by blood. The Bible says that those things were copies of the real thing that was in heaven. Now you understand that, but grasp now the depth of what he's about to say. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites. But the heavenly things themselves with better
sacrifices than these. Thank you. Read that while I check. Read it again.
Now watch. Am I back on? Damn. Get what he says right. Get the depth of what he just said here. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things, the tabernacle, the books, everything on earth. Those things needed to be cleansed. And they were cleansed with the blood of goats and the blood of... But then he says, listen what he says, you got to get it. But there was a need of the heavenly things also to be cleansed. But they couldn't be cleansed with the copies of the real, because the blood of goats and the blood of bulls, that was a shadow, that was a copy, that was not the real thing. But listen to what he says. The heavenly things, they needed to be cleansed, just like the copies of them down on earth needed to be cleansed. But they needed to be cleansed, though, with a better sacrifice. Because the blood of bulls couldn't be gotten and taken to heaven and thrown on the real thing up there. And it would, he says, no, the real things need a better blood than the blood of bulls or goats. It needs something better. It says, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Next verse. For Christ has entered, not into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but Jesus has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy place every year with blood, not his own. We didn't have the next verse. I didn't write it down, did I? But he has once and for all, one time, offered his own blood to cleanse the heavenly tabernacle and all the heavenly things with blood from the pure lamb. Come on, somebody get excited with me. I get excited all by myself. His own blood. What Moses built on earth, the earthly tabernacle, was a copy of the real one in heaven. Jesus in Revelation, John in Revelation saw the heavenly tabernacle. He says it. But he says in verse 23, the heavenly things needed to be cleansed with better things. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than them. Listen, what did the heavenly tabernacle need to be cleansed of? What did the, sin did not originate on earth. Here's where you got to get this. Sin did not originate in Louisiana. Come on, somebody. It didn't originate in East Baton Rouge Parish. Sin did not originate in Jerusalem. Sin did not originate in Babylon. Sin did not originate on planet earth. Sin originated in the heavenlies. Sin originated. Listen, rebellion set foot where rebellion had never set foot before. As far as we know, there may be times beyond us. But when you read the Old Testament, you find this, that God created in long before mankind was ever brought into being. God had already created angelic hosts. And what beyond that, we don't know. God will tell us maybe when we get there. But God created the angelic host. And one of the highest angelic beings that he ever created was one by the name of Lucifer. And as far as I can tell, he led the worship of heaven. There's just something about musicians sometimes. They can be touched. Come on, somebody. I just say it. Artists in particular. You ever been to an artist and they're painting and you say, I think you need to, you know, next thing you know, you got paint all over your face. You're just walking away. Because they're talented and they're there. But he failed. The Bible says, and I'm just going to give you, I believe this. Look at Isaiah. This is describing, I believe, him. How are you falling from heaven? Everybody say heaven. How are you falling? Not from earth. How are you falling from heaven? Oh, day star, son of dawn, how are you cut down to the ground? You who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north in heaven. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Go to the next scripture in Ezekiel. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst and you sinned. So I cast you out as a profane thing from the mountain of God. I'm going to tell you, rebellion set its foot where rebellion had never set its foot before. Sin set its foot where sin had never set its foot before. And you read throughout the Bible, one instant in the book of Job, where the Bible says the day came when the angels were presenting themselves before God, and Lucifer, Satan, came during that same time. There was a need of the heavenly things to be cleansed, as well as not only was earth waiting for the cleansing, also was the heavenly things. You know, one of the things you read about that may puzzle you, the Bible says before Jesus rose from the dead, everybody that sinned went down to the center of the earth. Everybody that died went down to the center of the earth. Whether you sinned or whether you were righteous. When you died before Jesus, you did not go to heaven. When you died before the coming of Jesus, read about it. The Bible says over and over, I did a whole teaching on this. You went down to the center of the earth. In the center of this earth, there is a place called Abraham's bosom. It is there. And in it, there was two sides to it. There was a torment side and there was a paradise side. And everyone that died before Jesus, the Bible says over, they went down, 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 they went down. And they did not go to heaven as we would know. They went down to Abraham's bosom. Jesus told the parable in Luke 16. He says, look at Luke chapter, Luke 16, look at this. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. You know, they were close in proximity. They went down into the center of the earth. You can read the book of Ephesians, another teaching another time. But they went down and they could see each other. They could look across. And even the sinful, because listen, nobody went to heaven. Why is that, Lord? Let me tell you what I think. Because heaven was not heaven yet. The place that we were to live eternally hadn't been prepared yet. The place where we were going to go needed to be cleansed yet. It's like, you know what happens? If I were to go say, hey, Jasmine, I invited 34 people over to our house today right after church. You know what she'd do? Before I said amen, she'd be out the door heading toward our house. You know, if we could ever harness the energy that is used at times like that, we could bottle it up and, you know, run the, you know. And so you know what she'd be doing? She'd be over there preparing. Is that right? She'd be doing what? She wouldn't be building a new house, right? She'd just be preparing. She'd be cleaning up my mess and all the rest of this stuff and all this and that. She'd be preparing. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 14. Listen to this. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? You have to understand the terminology of that day. When somebody got married, you added on to your house. You know, the old Hays Town look in our city is the add-on look. Different pitches on your roof so that it's not just, you know, the A-frame and all that. But you got pitches, you know, everywhere. That was the old look of where they used to add on houses. And it was, you know, you were cheap. You know, you added on. Well, now it's a style. You know, you pay for all those different roof changes. And what happens is Jesus comes and says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Notice, he didn't say, I got to go there and build you a room. No. He said, they're already there. In my Father's house, there's rooms everywhere. We've already added on. That's already done. All this silliness about, he's been there 2,000 years, building. He has not. He said, there are rooms already. He said, in my Father's house, there's rooms everywhere. That's what he says. In my Father's house, go back to John 14, first verse. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? He's not in the carpentry business anymore. He's in the high priestly business now. He worked as a carpenter during his earthly life, but when he turned 30, he left it behind and he began to be in the high priestly business. And when he looked at them that day, he said, listen, they're already there. The mansions are there. The rooms are there. The abodes are there. But I've got to go and prepare it for you. Why is that? It's got contaminated. It needs some cleaning up. Come on, somebody. I've got to go there and prepare the place for you. I got to go there and get it ready for you. It's already made. There's many, many rooms. It's already done, the building. But there has been a contamination. Rebellion set foot where rebellion never should have. There's been sin where there should never have been sin. I go to prepare a place for you. You know why? Everybody before his time, when they died, nobody went up there. Everybody went down to the center of the earth. They all went down there waiting for that day when he was going to come. When he that was said he would come, and he would set everything right. That he would cleanse the heavens and make a way where every captive that's been down righteous in the center of the earth can be let loose and brought to heaven. And he said, I've come. I'm going to go prepare. Look at Hebrews. Look back to Hebrews. You'll see what it says. Hebrews chapter 9. Next scripture. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Verse 23. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with all that blood of bulls. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. Verse 24. For Christ has entered not into a holy place made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself now to appear before the presence of God. Listen, not only did earth wait for the coming of the Son of Man, but heaven itself was needed to be put in order to be cleansed, and for the blood of bulls could not do the job which the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was able to do. And look what he says in Ephesians. Look here. Look at Ephesians. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Listen, in saying he ascended, what does it mean that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? Go back to verse 8 and notice it says, who is he that ascended? But that he first descended when Jesus died on the cross, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Why are you going down in the lower parts of the earth? Because I'm going to go get everybody that hadn't been able to go to heaven yet because I hadn't prepared the place. I hadn't cleansed the place. He wasn't ready to receive guests and visitors, and loved ones and family. He wasn't ready to receive family yet. And so when he died, the Bible says he went down into the center of the earth, the Abraham's bosom, and gathered a host of captives about him and said, guess what? Time is come. We're going to heaven together. I'm going to cleanse heaven itself. And it says when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts unto me. Come on, somebody say amen. You know, the reason there was a virgin birth, the reason God did all of that, the reason God had a little girl that the Bible says he came and never knew a man, a virgin, and on her the Holy Spirit came. You know why it was? Because of the blood. You know why he did all that, the virgin birth? It was about the blood. Because, you know, when you test to see who a dad is, you saw those court shows. Let's see if you're the dad. I don't think I'm the dad. Yeah, you're the yeah, he's the dad. No, you know what they do? They order a what? A what? They go order a blood test. Go order a blood test. How's that? Because the blood of the baby comes from the father. And the reason there was a virgin birth, it all had to do with, come on somebody, had to do with blood. Because the blood of that little baby was going to cleanse the heavenly tabernacle. And it was going to cleanse our soul. Come on, somebody, give him a great clap. Come on, give him a shout to the Lord. Jesus came. He said, no man, listen, Jesus was the only one in all of history that ever, other than Adam, that gave his life. Everybody else that's ever, he said, oh, no, they died in service. I'm not dishonoring them. They only shortened their life. Only Adam, when he looked at Eve, gave his life willingly. Adam would have lived forever. Jesus was the second person ever that gave his life. You know why? Because Jesus never would have had to have died. Disease would never. You never read about Jesus sniffling. You never read he had the flu. He loved and went to Bethlehem. You know, but the Bible says, but he had the flu. So he had to. You never read of that. You know why? Because his blood was pure. His blood was, I believe he would have lived forever. I don't know how God had done it. He said, you know what he said one time? He says, no man hath power to take my life. You know what he said? Because my nephesh, the blood of my, the life of my soul, the life of my body is it's pure. It's absolutely sinless. And he said, listen, the nephesh, he says, this have I received from my Father. I have power to lay my life down and I have the power to raise it back up. Jesus had so much life force in him that no disease could attack him. He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, my soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. You know why? Because his nephesh need never die. Only the soul that sinned shall die. He said, who convicts me of sin? No one had ever sinned. He never sinned. And I want you to notice what Pilate was puzzled. Joseph Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And so summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. Do you know what the Bible says about Pilate? When the word came to him that he died, we're talking only hours after starting the crucifixion. You read the story, you know, when they came to break legs. Remember that? They broke the legs of one of the thief and they broke the leg of the other thief because they were still alive. And I remember when I first got saved, you know, when I was a little boy, I remember reading that. You know, I didn't want to say it, but I thought, well, you know, maybe he's not as much of a man as those other. I mean, he died before then because when the centurion came to him, he was already dead. Until I figured it out. And one medical doctor I listened to one time just opened my eyes. He said, you know what? He said, "What the way the crucifixion works is you push yourself up, get a breath, and when you let yourself down, the weight of your arms, you suffocate. And you push yourself back and you gasp for breath. And what happens is you come to the place where literally you lose all your strength and you suffocate to death on the cross. But what Jesus did, and he said the reason it works that way is your blood clots up where you've been driven through your wrist and your ankles. It clots up. Your blood starts clotting. And you know what Jesus did? He gave his life willingly. And his blood flowed freely. And I believe because he was precious, I believe it was precious because it was sinless, that it never clotted up one time. It's my own belief. I just believe when he began to shed his blood, he gave his life. And the life is in the blood. And he gave his life and he didn't fight it. And the Bible says he died before the rest of them because he says, no man has power to take my life. I give my life freely. And I believe he never one time resisted. And after he committed his will to the Father, not mine but thine, that his blood flowed freely. And it still flows freely today. Come on, give him a great clap offering. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. You know, he gave his life. Look at 1 Peter 1:18. Listen what it says. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Knowing that you were ransomed, not from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without spot and blemish. And they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 18. Look at verse 18 again. This is what it says. But with precious. Everybody say precious blood. You were not perishable things. In verse 19 says. But you, listen, you were ransomed. Not only. I'm sorry. Verse 18 again. This is what it says here. It says. Knowing that you were. Everybody say ransomed. Ransom. You know what a ransom note is? It means to pay a price. When you get a ransom note. The ransom note says. This is how much you're going to have to give us to buy this person back. To get them back, you got to pay such. And you know what? The Bible says that Jesus, we were ransomed. And you know what the price was? Life for a life. And he gave his life, which is in his blood. He gave his life for you and I. He laid his life down. Look at Mark 10 and 45. It says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And he came to give his life a what? A ransom. Here's how, we're just going to introduce him. We're almost in it now. Here is how you understand how you can conquer the devil by the blood of the Lamb. You do this. One of the first things I learned in my life was I am bought with a price. I was ransomed. The devil had me in the kingdom of darkness, and there was a ransom note out yonder that said, life for life. And the Son of the living God gave his life to buy me back. And when I fight the kingdom of darkness, I stand on legal ground and say there was a ransom note and that ransom was paid in full for my life. Come on, somebody. We are bought with a price. Acts 20, we just read it. Acts 20 and 28, the church which he purchased with his own blood. Come on, somebody say amen again. Come on, I want the music team to make your way on back up right now. And we're just going to do the first song, Rachel's song. We're not going to do the song I put up there. We're going to do the first. Everybody say, I am God's property. Would you say that? I am God's property. Listen, you know what I do in my life? I pray about the blood of Jesus. When we pray for our kids, you know what we do? We pray the blood of Jesus. See, hyssop was a symbol and a type of faith. And what I do right now in my heart, I do that. You know, Jesus, when he died, the Bible says, he said, don't touch me. He ascended to heaven. He took his blood to that heavenly tabernacle and he cleansed, listen, of all of that, where sin and rebellion had set its foot, he cleansed the heavenly things. And now when anybody dies, guess what? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus. You no longer go down. You go up now to heaven. Why is that? Because it's been cleansed with a better sacrifice than ever. And what happens is this, literally, I understand this. I've been ransomed. I've been bought back by the blood. I belong to God. And we pray over our kids all the time. I mean, we do it. Look what Ephesians 5 says. But I'm not a piece of property God bought. When I say I'm God's property, I don't mean I'm, you know what he did? He bought me as his mate. He bought me as his bride. He bought me. Women can respond better, but it's true for all of us. He didn't buy us as some piece of collateral. He bought us to be in fellowship with him. He bought us that he might love us for all of eternity. We're in relationship. And listen to what it says. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is profound, but I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Get that. We are literally together with the Lord. I want everybody to stand up this morning. Everybody say amen. Can you just say amen this morning? I heard Adrian Rogers yesterday say this, and let me just end with it. It was a story about a man. He put an ad in the paper. He had lost his dog. Reward offered. And then he describes his dog. Been in a fire, most of his hair burnt off, deaf in one ear, blind in one eye, teeth missing, tail almost cut off, completely gone. Answers to the name Lucky. Come on, somebody. He wasn't lucky according to his. You know why he was lucky? He was lucky because he had somebody that loved him. You know, we weren't loved because we were great. We are great because we were loved. And listen, we belong to Jesus. And I tell when we pray for our kids, I say, devil, my kids have been bought with a price. They belong to God, and I conquer you by the blood of the Lamb. I thank you for the blood around my children. I pray, and we pray over that. We believe in the power because they were ransomed. And I tell the kingdom, you have no right over my kids. I believe that I'm conquering you by the blood of the Lamb this morning. Everybody say amen. Everybody say, we belong to Jesus, would you? Go ahead, kick it off. Go ahead, kick it off, guys. We belong to Jesus this morning. Lift your hands up. We're going to worship you. Come on. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Devil, we're not yours any longer. We have died to sin. How can we live any longer therein? We are married to Christ. We have been delivered. We can't marry again because we have died. There's been a death, and that relationship has been severed.
with the kingdom of darkness and with all the sin and everything else. It's been severed. And by the blood of Jesus, I come in. You know, this morning, you may not belong to Jesus. You may, you know, who do you belong to? I'll tell you, you don't belong to yourself. You're not your own man. You're not your own woman. You either belong to God and Jesus or you belong to the kingdom of darkness. Either the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. The Bible says, God said, Paul, I've sent you to deliver them and translate people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And this morning, I'm going to tell you, if you don't belong to Jesus, you belong to the devil. No, I don't care. You're not your own man. You're not your own woman. You belong to the kingdom of darkness. But I'm going to tell you this morning, there's a powerful something in here that you can cut the ties and sever that with the kingdom of darkness. And you can say, this morning, I choose Jesus. Thank you for the blood dying in my... Thank you for giving your life by your blood. I receive that in the name of Jesus. Father, forgive me. If that's you right now and you want to belong to Jesus, just say these words. Say, dear God, I confess I'm a sinner. I am in the kingdom of darkness. But this morning I want to change. This morning I lay my life down. I surrender all. Take my life. I believe that you died in my place. You gave your life for me. So right now, translate me from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light by the blood of the Lamb. And now give me strength. Give me power to live for you, that I can conquer the devil by the blood of the... Everybody say amen. Give him a good clap off one more time. Come on, sing the chorus one more time. Lift your voice and sing it.
So come, let us...